Radio Prague News.
The Interior Minister will push for changes to certain laws following the police breakup of a music festival last weekend. A Supreme Court judge accused of having collaborated with the communist-era secret police has been suspended. And only one Czech athlete qualified from the heats on the first day of the World Athletics Championships. The Interior Minister, František Bublan, has said he will push for changes to certain laws following the police breakup of a music festival last weekend. Mr. Bublan said on Sunday it should be up to local authorities to decide whether they want such an event in their area. The consent of the owner of the site would no longer suffice. Over 100 people were injured on both sides after riot police used water cannon and tear gas to disperse an estimated 5,000 participants at the Czech Tech Festival, which took place in a meadow in West Bohemia. There's been a great deal of criticism of the police's handling of the affair. Mr. Bublan and Prime Minister Jiří Paroubek continue to insist the intervention was justified, though both men say some individual police officers may have broken regulations. Investigations have been launched by both the police themselves and the Ombudsman's office. A judge at the Supreme Court in Prague is listed as having collaborated with the STB secret police during the communist era. Judge Jitka Horová has been suspended pending an inquiry. She denies having collaborated and is planning to sue the Interior Ministry. Justice Minister Pavel Němec said on Sunday he had ordered the files of 60 judges to be examined. He said the law clearly stated that anyone with a positive screening test was barred from being a judge. The Czech Republic's transport infrastructure needs investments of around 1.3 billion Czech crowns, or over $50 million, by 2013, says Pavel Švagr of the State Transport Infrastructure Fund. In an interview for the Czech BBC, Mr. Švagr called for the creation of a public-private partnership scheme to develop the country's road network in the future. Former TV Nova boss Vladimir Zelensky has been elected chairman of the Independent Democrats at the party's inaugural conference in Prague. Mr. Zelensky, who's a member of the European Parliament, said the party was aiming to enter the Chamber of Deputies at next year's elections and to play a part in the formation of the next government. The Independent Democrats, who so far have around 500 members, look set to adopt policies critical of the European Union. A series of festivals aimed at encouraging Czechs to visit the country's castles has come to an end. The last of the České Hrady.cz concerts took place at Švihov Castle in West Bohemia on Saturday night. It featured acts like Pražský Výběr and Dan Barta. And the weather, the next few days should see sunny spells with rain in places. Temperatures should gradually increase, rising to around 26 degrees Celsius in the middle of the week. My name is Ian Willoughby. That's the end of the news.
This is Radio Prague and I'm David Vaughan. In today's programme, for the first time, a major Czech privatisation tender goes to a Russian investor. Could Moscow once again become an important trade partner? If you go out for a meal, make sure that you check the bill. A new report suggests that Czech restaurants continue to rip off customers. And Bohemians rise from the ashes. Good news for a football club with a long tradition. These stories and more over the next 20 minutes. The first major privatization tender to have been won by a Russian company was finalized last week. Russia's Evraz Holding is now to take over Vitkovice Steel, one of Europe's biggest producers of heavy plates and a major player in the depressed industrial region of Ostrava. Brian Kennedy has more.
With the stroke of a pen, the promise of over 7 billion crowns for state coffers and billions more of investment into a region struggling with high rates of unemployment, officials from the Czech Ministry of Industry and Trade on Friday signed over ownership of the last steelmaker still in state hands. The sale of Vitkovice Steel, which employs some 1,600 people and is the largest Czech producer of rolled steel products, also marked the first major privatization to go over to a Russian company. If there was any lingering anti-Russian sentiment on the Czech side over the nearly half century of Soviet control that ended in 1989, the bottom line prevailed. Evraz Holding simply offered a better deal than the eight other companies which made it to the final round of the privatization. Two other companies, however, had offered more for the 99% stake in Vitkovice Steel, for which the Russian coal and steel company paid $284 million. Mittal Steel of India, as recently as last Monday, was hoping the government would choose its bid of $360 million, but Mittal was denied a chance to bid within the official tender due to an ongoing dispute involving a Czech subsidiary, although the Indian group said it would accept the government's terms on the matter. The Czech-Slovak financial group, Penta, which had also been eliminated from the tender, also was lobbying for its bid to be considered up until the last minute. Czech Ministry of Industry and Trade officials have said the privatization tender, which began in January, was both fair and transparent. They say the Russian company will be held to its promises to modernize the aging Ostrava facility that is home to Vitkovice Steel, invest in the region, and keep the steelworks employment levels until at least 2008. Sector analysts say that with the regional demand for big-ticket infrastructure deals, the sale of Vitkovice Steel can only be good news for the Czech economy.
And that was Brian Kennedy. Now, have you ever visited a Prague restaurant and faced a particularly grumpy waiter? Or still worse, found yourself being overcharged? In the last 6 months, the Czech Trade Inspection has checked over 3,500 restaurants around the country, and in more than 40% found the law on consumer protection had been violated. Martin Mikula reports on this rather depressing statistic.
A typical sound of a Prague pub. Even though the quality of Czech restaurants has improved a lot over the past 15 years, customers still often find themselves being cheated. Miroslava Fleglova from the Czech Trade Inspection tells me what kind of offences are the most common.
Česká obchodní inspekce při svých kontrolách se nejčastěji setkává s porušením povinností.
The most common offences that the Czech Trade Inspection found during its checks were giving people short measures on drinks or food, not stating the price of the service provided, incorrect charging and using inaccurate scales. The law is often violated due to negligence or ignorance, but sometimes these offences are committed on purpose.
Nalévané nápoje či nesprávně dávkované hmotnosti pokrmů k úmyslu.
It is not only an offence to serve a beer not filled right up to the top, but you also have the right to complain about a soft drink which is served directly with ice cubes. The ice cubes actually substitute some of the drink you are paying for. Evan Rail is a journalist at the Prague Post. As a writer on food and drink, he often visits Prague restaurants. He says that he is not often cheated, but that doesn't mean that he is completely happy.
Cheated is a rather harsh word. I think what I get are situations which are disappointing in the sense of sometimes something is not listed as a price on the menu and I'm charged for it. Or I'm charged for what is called a couvert, but it's not actually something worth the 20, 30, or 50 crowns sometimes. Sometimes it's just a price that they add on. And you don't see it on the menu, so you're disappointed and surprised in a negative way when you get the bill.
But what is the standard of Czech restaurants? Are they comparable to services in other countries, for example in the United States, where Evan Rail comes from?
Of course, in a country like the United States, which is my home, there is such a great difference between large cities and small towns and different regions. So it's hard to speak in general about the United States, but let's say, for example, that we could compare Prague to a city like New York. That's very difficult because the level of of service and cuisine in New York is generally very high. Yes, there are cheap restaurants. Yes, there are the equivalent of a hospoda or some Czech pub in New York, for sure. But the highest level of cuisine is so good. And that's one thing that's kind of difficult to compare. In Prague, our best restaurants do compare to the best restaurants of any city in Europe, for sure. But the moderate restaurants and the cheap restaurants have trouble catching up, I think.
So what should you do if you are not happy with the service? Of course, it's always good to check if you are paying for what you really have consumed. You might then find yourself facing an unpleasant confrontation with an angry waiter who doesn't speak English. Much safer bet is to choose a good restaurant that is recommended by a guidebook or friends.
And if you'd like to tell us something about your experiences of Prague restaurants, either good or bad, why don't you drop us a line at english@radio.cz, or you can write to us at English Section, Radio Prague, 12099, Prague. And now, for a completely different subject, every Czech football fan remembers Antonín Panenka's decisive penalty kick against Germany to win the 1976 European Championship. Many of these fans also supported the team Panenka played with for many years, Bohemians Football Club, which was one of the top teams in the country in the 1970s and 80s. Unfortunately, like many clubs in the harsh economic climate of the post-communist era, Bohemians went bust in this their centenary year. But determined fans have, against the odds, saved the club from extinction. The new incarnation of Bohemians Football Club had their first home match on Sunday, and Radio Prague's Colleen O'Connor was there to see the team shake off its traumatic past.
Ačia Bohemka, or Long Live Bohemians, roars a crowd at the cramped stadium of Bohemians Football Club in the Prague suburb of Virševice. This football chant was especially poignant yesterday as the fans were cheering their club after it had come back from the very brink of extinction. Despite having an illustrious history, Bohemians Football Club went bankrupt earlier this year after more than a decade of mismanagement. But instead of letting their club die, Bohemian supporters, inspired by the examples of other clubs in similar situations, such as Wimbledon and Chesterfield in England, organised their own collection to help pay off the club's debts. Antonín Jelinek, of the Bohemian Supporters Association, says the club is a big part of his life, which made him determined to save it.
I actually live just next to the stadium. I can see the stadium from my window, from my balcony. And ever since I was able to look over the edge of the balcony, I was supporting Bohemians, which was like when I was like 5 years old.
Altogether, Antonín Jelinek and other Bohemians fans managed to collect the huge sum of 3 million Czech crowns to get the club back on its feet. It was a major effort on their part, but it is something Antonín Jelinek feels is worthwhile given the club's history.
The club is 100 year old this year. It was founded in 1905. It has a very rich history, mainly in the 80s, in the past century, when we were playing European competitions, UEFA Cup and predecessor to Champions League. And we met very strong oppositions like Ajax Amsterdam, Tottenham Hotspurs, and some other clubs. And since then, something happened, and we didn't play it so well. But the fans are fantastic, and they were still supporting Bohemians, even in very hard periods of time. The fans are something extraordinary in Bohemians.
Thanks to these extraordinary fans, things are finally looking up for Bohemians after several turbulent years. The team has now been renamed, and although it has to start again in the lowest division of the Czech League, nearly 7,500 fans turned out to cheer their team for the first match of the season. Antonín Jelinek, like many other Bohemians followers, is hopeful that the club, now called Bohemians 1905, can be back challenging for major honours in the near future.
We are currently in third league in Czech Republic. Some people say it may be for 2 years. I hope it's for one, but I really hope that we will promote to higher leagues because this is the place where Bohemians belongs forever.
And by the way, Bohemians lost their opening match against Slavia's B team, but as you can hear, they weren't discouraged. And their website, if you're interested in finding out more, is www.bohemians.cz. And we stay with sport now with Ian Willoughby with more news from the world of Czech football and the latest from the World Athletics Championships in Helsinki.
The World Athletics Championships in Helsinki didn't begin well for the Czech Republic, with big names like triple jumper Šárka Kašpárková and hurdler Jiří Mužík going out in the heats on day one. Sunday went better for the Czechs, with medal hopeful Věra Cechlová-Pospíšilová qualifying with ease for the discus final. She produced the longest throw of the heats.
My throwing was a bit chaotic. I wanted to throw in a really relaxed manner, and I think my poor trainer must have been very nervous in the stands. But I went into it thinking I'd really go for it and wouldn't take qualification for granted.
Věra Cechlová-Pospíšilová, and the final of the women's discus is on Tuesday. Staying with Sunday a second, Barbara Dybelková finished fifth in the final of the women's 20-kilometer walk, setting a new Czech record of 1 hour 29 minutes. Dybelková, who is 175 centimeters tall but weighs only 52 kilograms, wasn't far off the medals. Just 21 seconds separated her from third place. Tuesday sees day one of the men's decathlon, in which Roman Šerbela will be hoping for a repeat of his gold-winning performance at last year's Olympics. He says anything less than first place in Helsinki would be a disappointment.
It is only sport, and we'll see how it goes. But it's true, I'll only be satisfied with gold. I'm first in the world rankings, I won the Olympics, so I can't think about anything less. Of course I want to take the gold.
The new Czech football season began on Friday with a 1-1 draw between Slavia Prague and newly promoted Jihlava. Slavia will have to do better if they're to overcome Anderlecht in the last qualifying round for the Champions League. The first leg of that tie takes place on Wednesday in Belgium. And last season's Czech champion Sparta Prague got off to an impressive start with a 2-1 win over Pilsen. The highlight of that game was a long-distance wonder goal from Karol Kissel. The Slovak midfielder was one of five new signings fielded by Sparta. And finally, basketball. And American Maurice Whitfield has played his first game for the Czech Republic since taking out Czech citizenship earlier in the year. Whitfield and his teammates are currently playing friendly matches ahead of the European Basketball Championships, which take place next month. And that's all the sport for today.
With Ian Willoughby. And now for Talking Point. People from five different continents get together in a little East Bohemian town of Dobruška. With Dita Asieru, we find out what they have in common.
Jak se máš?
Já mám se dobře, děkuji. A ty?
Dobře, děkuji. Jak se jmenuješ?
For about half a century or so, the little East Bohemian town of Dobruška has been home to Charles University's intensive Czech language school for foreign students. For the past 15 years, every summer, the university's facilities are used for a different group of students, Czechs abroad who would like to get back in touch with their roots and learn the language of their fathers, mothers, or grandparents.
My name is Amana Shaker, and I'm from Syria.
Mm-hmm. And what made you decide to come here and take part in the four-week course?
Because my mother from Czech.
And what do you do here?
We study all day by 6 hours or 8 hours and do a lot of activities. Go hiking and this stuff, to the forest, and we sing here Czech.
Miluje, ať nestrácí na něj.
Vladimíra Kořenová is one of the Czech language teachers here at Dobruška. Now, if you could give us an idea of what the four-week course entails.
Teaching the normal Czech language, the tradition of Czech culture. We are trying to show the students our countryside and we do some sightseeing, try to force them to meet ordinary Czech people and Czech culture. We have 76 students from 36 countries, from 5 continents, and some of them are paying for this course just by themselves. Because they are just interested in the Czech culture.
Co je to?
To je stůl.
Jaký je stůl?
Stůl je velký.
Velký. Jaký ještě? Jaký stůl? Jaká barva?
Je oranžový.
Oranžový, hnědý. Co je to? Co je to?
To je židle.
My name is Marcelo Hernandez Kolář. I'm from Mexico City.
Do you have a Czech surname, Kolář?
Yes, because my mother is from Ostrava.
Are you in touch with a Czech community in Mexico?
Sometimes in the Czech embassy in Mexico City, they make a lot of activities, you know, like here they are making in Dobruška songs, meeting the Czech community in Mexico, there are parties and things like that, yeah.
How many Czechs do you know there?
There are a lot of them, but usually the Czech community I know is the old one.
My name is Nadal Nohra and I'm from Lebanon, Beirut. My mom is Czech and I speak Czech very well, but I don't write very well Czech, so I need the grammar and the practice, and that's why I came here, just to learn the grammar, Czech grammar.
And were you born in Lebanon?
Yes, I was born in Lebanon.
Do you see cultural differences? All of you have some Czech blood. I'm curious to know whether you all get along, whether there is something in common there at all?
Maybe there are differences, like because we are, like me, we are from Lebanon or Egypt or Syria, and there are people like from Mexico or Germany, and it's very far from us. So maybe there are some differences, but just been here for a week and we're like planning to keep in touch and we're going to go there and there and there, and or we're all going to visit Mexico, you know, or we're all going to go to Egypt or we're all going to go to Germany and stuff.
The entire course is organized by the Department for Cultural Relations and Czechs Abroad at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. And Mr. Zdeněk Lička is the head of the department. Who is this course for?
Everybody can apply because we have on our website. You can find out the application form, you can fill it in, and then you have to send it to the Czech embassy at your place where you live. And then the Czech embassy preparing the first selection. And then all the applications are sent to our department at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs in Prague. Then we make as a final decision, because normally it's about two times, three times more application that we can accept. Because it's one of the conditions that the students accepted are that it's not only for their personal use, but that they will spread their knowledge further on to their neighbors and to other Czechs or people of Czech origin abroad. So we also decide when we make the decision, it's very important that we know all the background of the person. If there is a person, only a student would like to learn Czech because she or he just likes it, it's not enough.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the number of younger Czechs who are willing to come here and learn the language and learn more about the country has increased. 10 years ago, for example, when I was abroad, I didn't think the Czech language was important for me. I didn't think I'd ever need it. And I see that that attitude is changing completely.
Yes, you're right. There may be two reasons of that. One of them, the Czech is one of the languages of European Union, and then of course there is something connected with that. But I think the most important attitude is coming back to the roots. There is about 1/5 of the Czech nation living abroad, about 2 million people of Czech and Czechoslovak origin, and then especially in the United States, people would like to know their roots. They would like to know where they come from, where their parents came from, and then they start learning Czech, and then some of them are very good. And I think the young generation, young people, they are coming back to roots more than the old generation. And so, and then I think also because of more traveling abroad and to the Czech Republic and abroad, and more foreigners coming here, so there also can be some personal ties that press the people to learn Czech.
My name is David Sir. I'm from Johannesburg, South Africa. I was in fact born in Brno, but when I was 7 years old, our family moved to Germany. Ironically, at the end of October 1989, making it a very retarded time to leave the country. It's like a few weeks before the revolution. But then when I was 9, we moved to South Africa, and I've been there ever since.
How old are you now?
I'm 21.
And how big is the Czech community there, South Africa?
In Pretoria, I'd say there's about 200-odd Czech people. There is a reasonably large effort at the Czech culture being, you know, upheld. And out of about the 200-300 people, there is a rather solid group of Czechs. I'd say about 50 of us. We stick together kind of often, and we get together for like occasions and functions. But we had an actual official community, which was started by my mom and dad. And we have done a couple of Czech balls where we actually had a band put together, and we sang Czech songs, and we made the Czech food, and people came and we did the Czech dances, and we did like a big proper shebang thing.
And how do you like it here in Dobruška so far?
Oh, Dobruška is awesome. It's fascinating because when you live away from Czech Republic and you're, you know, 13,000 kilometers away, you think my little Czech world is the only Czech world that exists outside the actual country. And here you find, it's like finding life on other planets, you know. It's like, you know, here's little Earth, and then 3 gazillion miles away there's somebody else that does the same thing that we do. So it's fun to know that there's people like you who also struggle and also try to keep it going, and that they're out there, and that we have a chance to meet in places like Dobruška and just chill together. It's fun.
And Talking Point was prepared by Dita Asiedu. And that's all we have time for today. So please keep writing to us at Radio Prague, 12099, Prague, the Czech Republic. And we'll be back again tomorrow. So for the time being, from me, David Vaughan, and all of us here, goodbye.
Jednou si do legend mou nahoře, život plyne jako voda, svatý je jako moře. Každý k moři dopluje, někdo dříve a někdo později, kdo v životě miluje, ať nestrácí naději. Až uvidí v životě zázraky, které jenom láska umí. Zlaté ryby vyletí nad mraky, pak porozumí. Že je život jako voda, kterou láska ve víno promění. Láska, že je náhoda a bez ní štěstí není.